And hope you're doing well today. It's Thursday, is it? Yeah, it's Thursday, I think, man. My head itches. I'm sorry. It's Thursday, right? Yeah, so today is the day that we're doing. Thursday is business. This is a very heavy business day and for us here at the old El Pacifico. And it's also the day that we're going to... Oh, as I told you guys, next week I will be out of town, man. I'm going to be in the desert. I'll be out in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, but we will be doing shows. We're going to be doing them remote, and they will look, in terms of the video cast, they'll look a lot like what you're used to seeing on video, you know, those video casts. It looks like a fucking cheap shit fucking camera, you know? There is a remote TriCaster. There's a lightweight TriCaster, it's about a $9,000 investment. And I will tell you this, I would go with this fucker. I think I would like to get rid of what we have now when we're done, you know, with our arrangement, shall we say. And I want to go with the portable TriCaster, which is a smaller unit. It's, like I said, it's a lot less expensive, and you can use it anywhere, man. So, for instance, you know, you need a green screen. If you want to do effects, you need a green screen. But you can take this out with you on the road. The quality of the picture is amazing. The effects are the same. You still have a green screen effect. You have virtual studios. You have graphics. You've got the high quality picture. And it's also much, much easier to travel with. The TriCaster we have now is a big fucking unit, you know, and it's nothing that I want to be hauling my ass, you know, hauling with me all over Hell's Half Acre. But if we go places, you know, where we really want you to see where we're at, that fucker is going to be sweet. Now, you know, I'm half tempted to buy the son of a bitch now, but, you know, I don't know, man. I'm very sort of conservative that way, so we'll see. All right. We got Bobby Dooley today. She will be hosting.
I'm going to have on the program Dexter Havens. Dexter is a longtime resident, Steve.
Yeah, Dexter Haven lives over in the bar in the Babulia.
It's not. It's called the Bougainvillea, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the Bougainvillea phase. That's where Dexter lives. And the Bougainvillea phase is one of our luscious. It's luscious. Isn't it?
Well, I'd say there's lusciousness there, yeah.
Because I've instructed Steve and directed him and have told him, not asked him, I've told him I want it thick and lush, almost jungle-like, you know?
Well, I saw that movie where the guy gets beat up by the Japs. Not Japs, sir, I mean...
You can't say Japs. You mean Japanese?
Yeah.
Which movie is that?
Well, was it Unbroken, or...
Well, you couldn't have seen that because that's not been released for general consumption. I think only Hollywood insiders. I think Dexter Havens has seen it.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. I wonder what I saw.
Well, you didn't pirate it, did you?
What? No, I didn't pirate it. Well...
Oh, Steve, God damn you to the living hell. God damn you to the living hell. You pirated Unbroken.
I didn't know. Hours after an announcement that the U.S. authorities determined North Korea was behind the cyber... We told you that first. We broke that news for you first on the Phil Henry Show. It's fucking Korea. Who the... What are you kidding? Come on.
Oh, it's so great.
No, we let you know that it was the Koreans. It was no... General Shaw, as well as, I think, Vernon Dozier and a few others said very unequivocally, and I think Margaret also... The comedy about journalists who scored interview was scheduled for the 25th release. Well, Sony is not going to play it, okay? So that's the end of that romance. That fucker is not being released on the 25th. I think theaters are going to be allowed to show it if they want to. Let me see how this goes. Pulling the release of the film. Sony has no further release plans for the film. Sony also removed any mention of the movie from its website. Earlier Wednesday, a federal law enforcement official offered the news about North Korea. The official is not authorized to comment publicly, said a formal announcement. This is really, it's sad, you know, that a so-called free society, see, folks, this is you can't show me, and, you know, you just can't show me an equal act by the U.S. government pulling a movie, forcing a movie to be pulled from, And I know that I've got, I'll never convince the dumbass people that, you know, listen to me, that there's no conspiracy. They're just going to go down to defeat, man. Their lives will go down to defeat. They'll die stupid, you know. But you can't, for the rest of you guys that are intelligent, you cannot show me a parallel or equal act on the part of the U.S. government that was perpetrated here by Sony self-censoring. And I've often said it, and you know I said it. It's business, it's the private sector that is the most dictatorial and autocratic thing that there is in our society, not the government. So here is a company censoring itself because of the finger wagging and the cheap threats of the North Koreans, who, you know, may or may not be able to actually back their fucking talk up. I think it's sad that Sony pulled the movie. I think it's bullshit, and it's not other than it said a formal announcement of attribution could come to the U.S. government as soon as Thursday. U.S. government believe the attacks originated outside North Korea, but they have determined that the actions were sanctioned by North Korean leaders. U.S. government is not prepared to issue a formal charge against North Korea. Its leadership, the official who was not authorized, said a lesser statement of attribution is expected. U.S. investigators, the thing about it is the Koreans have, China has Korea's back. That's why we have to put up with this shit, because China's got Korea's back. And if you want the honest opinion, China is behind the motherfucking hack. China has a sophisticated cyber attack apparatus. China's been doing this shit for years. I heard some people, real fucking brain dead people, saying North Korea couldn't have done this. They don't even know how to, you know, they don't have automobiles yet. You know, they're still using mule cart. And I'm thinking, boy, what you don't know is could fill volumes. The North Koreans have invested heavily. If they've put anything into any, their people are starving, and they've put money into their military, into their intelligence, into this kind into this kind of effort. You know, this cyber attack bullshit. They got people fucking starving to death over there, man. They've had a famine going on for God. I guess it's alleviated a bit because the Koreans finally got off their goddamn arrogant high horse and decided that they would take charity. They're the most despicable fucking government in the world. If you don't know that, then you better get it. The North Koreans are the most despicable motherfuckers in the world. They are a criminal regime. They engage in human trafficking, drug dealing, counterfeiting. There isn't a fucking crime that you can make a lot of money at that the North Koreans are not involved in. Whatever you can make, and why are they involved in criminal activities? Because they can't run their economy. Why? Because they are slaves first to ideology and to economy second. They will maintain the ideology and the myth of leadership and the myth of Marxist-Leninism to the end, man, even if it's not fucking working at all, even if it's been mismanaged, and every one of these pieces of shit mismanaged it, from Kim Jong-il, who was the founding leader of North Korea, to Kim Jong-un, to Kim Sung-un, or however you pronounce that fucker's name, Kim Jong-il, excuse me, to Kim Sung-jung, to Kim Novak, I don't know. But anyway, all three of them have been utter fucking disasters as leaders. They've all three made the respected so-called leadership, this piece of shit laid the groundwork for the starvation of the people, because this is the guy who decided to invest in heavy industry, not light industry. He's a guy that didn't put any money into agriculture. He's a guy that didn't put any money into any kind of policy into actual trade with other countries. They decided that they would do trade exclusively with the Russians and the Chinese because they didn't want to pollute their ideology by doing actual trade, which every country in the world does, with capitalist nations. That would appear to be some sort of a compromise, and it would pollute their ideology. So at the end of the rainbow is really patron state relationships. They have a relationship with a patron state, Russia and China. These two countries just basically gave them shit, gave them, the best possible deal, you know, the lowest possible price. And they did that all just to keep the economy propped up. While this so-called wonderful grandfather motherfucker Kim Sung-il, this piece of shit just started off the country on a bad footing. Now, they enjoyed all of, and I'm bringing you knowledge that I only obtained myself through this book, The Impossible State, that I'm reading. That is an eye opener, man. You wonder how a country in the modern world can, a country like North Korea, with the technology that they are that's available to them, with the intelligence they obviously have, you wonder how they can fall into such a state that there's a famine, people dying from starvation. There's only one answer to that, and that is that the criminal activity of their government, they would rather see people fucking die, man, than pollute the ideology of it's old school Stalinism. It's old school Leninism, man. It's we'll fucking die, we'll starve. We have to purify the state. We have to purify our people. They must be made hard and reinvented in the form of the proletariat of the revolution, and they, you know, any kind of backsliding, any kind of weakness that shows that we're backsliding into capitalism or old school colonialism, imperialism, all that shit, man, later for that shit. So they'd rather their people fucking die. They're the most fucked up criminal bunch of pieces of shit the world has ever known. They are the most criminal fucking regime in the fucking world. Far worse than Iran. Far fucking worse than any even Yugoslavia. Even at the basis levels of the genocide committed by the Serbians, they're worse, because the Serbians, while they ethnically cleansed, the North Koreans are full-on fucking fascists. They are in the grandest tradition of Nazism. They're in the grandest tradition of National Socialism. They believe in the purity of Korean blood. They do. They believe in the purity and the superiority of Korean blood. They believe that they are a superior, genetically, bloodline-wise, they are superior to other peoples. This is a fucking racist regime on top of everything else. The fact that I don't give a fuck if they're over there breaking bread with Dennis Rodman. Are you kidding me? Behind the scenes, they're probably mocking him as some kind of a typical capitalist freak. Some typical degenerate capitalist freak, Dennis Rodman. That's what they probably were laughing about. Did you see this fucking guy? What a freak. This is the shit they got going on in America, and they think they're superior to us? And the North Koreans have sold this effectively since the end of World War II. They've told their people this. You're not like other people. You're not like other people, man. You are, ours is a hard road, yes, but ours is the road of the future. Ours is the road of national determination and integrity. Ours is the road of the true workers' state that all the other countries have given up on, but we're not going to give up on it because we are North Korean. We are Koreans. We are superior in every way, and you are a very superior people. Yes, you're enduring grave deprivation, but you can handle it. This is what we have to do. This is what happens to special people in this world. We have to suffer. The rest of the world can party its fucking ass off, and they can go into the, and they can just slide right on into the apocalypse. It won't happen to us. The Korean people will be ready. And that's what they've been selling, and it's been, you know, there's a lot of obviously, a lot of defection that happens, but, you know, generally revolutions begin, or at least revolutions gain traction, when there is a developing relationship between the military and the mass of people, where the military decides something has to be done, and we're the ones with the gun. And look what's happening to the people of this country, and we're serving this master, we're serving the wrong master. The Russian Revolution, I mean, I'm not talking about a military coup now. I'm talking about real revolutions where one system is supplanted by another permanently. And the way that the first thing that has to be done is the power, which is the military, has to be brought on the side of the people. That military in North Korea shows no fucking signs whatsoever of going over to the side of a starving people. Now, which makes you wonder just what kind of degenerate pieces of shit they've got at the top of that fucking organization, you know. following that fat fuck around, you know, taking down little fucking notes and shit. You've seen it, man. It's they're all like, just, you know, like this dude is dispensing wisdom, just like a bunch of fucking people are so ensconced in the wisdom of the ages of Lao Tzu and the Buddha, and, you know, they're just all fuck, like every motherfucker that comes along that calls himself a leader, they believe that everything that comes out of this guy's mouth is fucking gold, not to mention his asshole, you know. And now comes this fucking clown, this kid. He ain't no bargain, man. This guy is no bargain at all. This guy's people who went to school with him in Switzerland. He went to elementary and middle school in Switzerland. Very expensive schools, very expensive private schools. And the people that knew him then said he was some kind of a real weird ass, a real, very a kid that was at once sort of kept to himself, but at the same time, when he tried to join in with the other kids, it was a very bullying fashion. This one girl was on a swing set one day, and this Kim Il-sung came up and started to swing her, push her, as you would it. She said, stop it, don't do it. She didn't like the kid. She tried to warm up to him, but he didn't want to have anything to do with her. Now he's pushing. She says, I told you to stop. She had to get right up in this guy's face and scream at him to stop before he just walked away. Was he a little boy? Sure, he's a little boy. But you can see right there the personality of this kid, entitled and controlling. And then suddenly one day she saw a woman in a fur coat show up and two or three very official-looking people, and the kid was gone. He's out of school, and he's gone back to North Korea with his daddy, you know. Who's the woman in the fur coat? Who the fuck knows? One of 500 or 600 girlfriends that his old man had, and probably some members of the, you know, North Korean intelligence. But, I mean, these guys, this North Korea man is the most despicable motherfucking group of people. I don't know. They got a hotel that was sitting in their capital city, Pyongyang. This hotel that they built was going to be a monument to the great workers' paradise that they created. This was going to be the most unbelievable. And if you see this fucking thing, go online and look at this hotel. I forget the name of it, but you'll see this hotel in Pyongyang or whatever the hell the name of the capital is. And this thing was built with so much money that it actually affected the domestic product of the country and caused a tightening of you know, the belt everywhere else. And it was at a time, the late 1980s, after North Korea saw the Olympics go to Seoul. It's actually in the mid to late 80s when they saw the Olympics go to Seoul, and they were absolutely mortified, absolutely humiliated, and they decided that they would create some kind of games, the North Korea, the Asian Games or something, to try to get some love back on them, and they even started to build this hotel. Well, they had to abandon this thing because they ran out of money, and it sat there for almost 20 fucking years. This eyesore, this thing, this cement a headstone to the North Korean way of life, until finally they hired an Egyptian company. And this company has come in and has begun the process, and maybe they've finished it, of continuing, refurbishing what was already done. I mean, the concrete that was laid at the base of this thing was absolutely, you know, was crumbling. So they had to, God knows what they had to do to get this thing even ready to continue the construction. And they say the Egyptians got this contract because the Egyptians provided something for the North Koreans. I don't know what it was. I'm going to go back and look at it. But, I mean, it's just a country that doesn't work on every single fucking solitary level that you could think of. And the only reason why they still exist is at the pleasure of the Chinese. The Chinese like the North Koreans existing because it pisses everybody off. It keeps, you know, it's almost as if North Korea is the tip of the spear in a way. You know, there's this little fucking gnat flying around and bugging all these decadent Western imperialist plutocracies and oligarchies that the Chinese feel that they've got figured out. Yeah, sure, you got democracy. Bullshit. The only thing that runs your countries is fucking money. So, you know. So if you want to know why North Korea is still bothering everybody, it's because of China. Nobody's going to go to war with China. And the United States isn't going to go to war with China unless we have to. And that's a nuclear war. Don't even fucking worry about it, because that's the only... There's no way that we mass any kind of an army if we go to war against China, which I, hope to God we don't. But if we do, that's a nuclear war. You don't fight a country of God knows how many billions of people, almost 2 billion people, 1.5 billion people, with an army, conventionally, because they, first of all, they outman you. You have to use high-tech weaponry, and I think it goes all the way to the nuclear option, because the high-tech stuff we have, while it's devastating, would just sort of mean a prolonged battle with a country that probably has much of the same stuff. The one thing that we do have an edge on are nuclear weapons. So now you know why we have, all those nuclear weapons, because you've got to have more than the other motherfucker, and the Chinese... And who knows what they're doing? The big weakness of the Chinese is they've got this sort of fake relationship with their people. It's a dictatorial, autocratic country with the appearance of middle-class prosperity. And as been said, people are, one of the things that people do once they get all the shit they want and they're comfortable and they're eating good and they're driving beautiful cars and they got swimming pools and they go to movies... The next thing they want is to have conversations and look around them and say, well, now there's other shit I'd like to think about now. I don't have to think about eating anymore. I don't have to think about cars. I don't have to think about clothing. I don't have to think about any of that. Houses, jobs. Now I've got stuff. Now I'm thinking about how this goddamn thing falls together around here. Just exactly who's in charge around here anyway. Well, you have all the things you want. What are you now? You complaining? Well... It comes with a territory. I'm not complaining. I just want to know. Let me see the blueprints. Let's see what's up. Wait a minute. You have everything you want. Because of that real patriarchal attitude that Asian people have. We just let daddy decide. Not saying that it's non-democratic. I'm saying there is a tendency for people to fall in line with family. More so than in this country where everything is individual rights, individual rights, individual rights. People have a tendency over there to be more, allow the greater, the larger to make the decisions, to defer to the community or the neighborhood. And that's what probably would cause the blowback or cause the pushback, Hey, don't you understand? We are, the great father. And that's what keeps North Korea where it is. North Korea's ideology is comprised of, at the top, trust the head, you are the body. In other words, they sell this fairy tale, which you have to be, I think you have to be Asian to understand the thousands of years that go into the making of culture there. A lot of it has to do with this, respect and the Confucian ethic of sort of outward moral behavior and the respect of one's elders and so forth. So in North Korea, what's happening, and this began with Kim Sung Il, or whatever the fuck that guy's name is, Kim Il Sung. He said, well, we are the head. We do the thinking. You are the people. You're the arms and the legs and the strength, the body. And together we make a great society. But don't get outside of your job description here. You guys provide the muscle. We provide the brains. Now, he sold this. He said that this is the way that we're going to become a great world, a great society. And he sold this to the Korean people. And when things got tough, as they did in the 90s, it keeps getting pounded into their heads. You're a special people in a terrible world. We are unique among all people on Earth. We are the Korean people. Look at what we've gone through. Look what we did. We threw the Japanese out. For thousands of years, we've thrown invader after invader out of our homeland. Look at what they all want to come here. They all want a piece of us. The Americans, the Russians, the fucking Japanese, goddamn Japanese. They hate the fucking Japanese. Hate them. Because of the lasting, legacy of World War II. And they won't allow those wounds to heal. That serves the leadership of North Korea to keep that attitude going. So, they're talking about the head and the body. The next thing that they sold in the late 1950s was things are tough, work harder. Work harder, eat less, you know, indulge yourself less, all for the greater glory of the state. We don't make enough money. We don't have enough of a yield this year in terms of crops. We haven't met our quota of heavy equipment. Work harder. Put in more hours. That was the next load of shit that they sold the Korean people, backing it up with this, we are a special people. See? And then the third has elements of that whole, that racist mentality, which is the purity and the genius and the superiority of the Korean people. This is our way. This is the path that we walk. We're going to be a workers' state, the greatest that there has ever been, where the Chinese have failed and the Russians have failed and the Eastern Europeans. They used to be really tight with the Eastern Europeans. North Korea and states like Poland and Hungary and Czechoslovakia, these were countries, they were very tight. You know, they sort of walked, they were all, you know, sort of have this commonality of being satellites of the greater powers, the great communist powers of China and Russia. And, you know, we're a chosen people, man. So put it all together. What do you got? You got a pretty effective package that plays directly into the Korean mind, the Asian mind, you know, that is all for the family and the village and the neighborhood and the town and the country, and next comes me. We're completely the opposite here. I'm not talking about, this isn't something that was developed during a repressive communist, you know, experience. This was something that's thousands of years old. This is something that's been going on for a long time in that part of the world. And it was born of Confucian ethic and the Tao and Buddhism. It was born moral and religious training. But it was the way that they saw to best affect their societies over there. Very different from the way Europe developed and eventually America, which was more about the individual, because I guess we're just different people in a lot of ways, man. But I don't think that we're so different that we want different things. We all want the same fucking thing. We want to be happy, you know? Funny thing, when you can sell people, though, in the name of religion, and you may think that they're atheists, and they are atheists in the communist state, but it's still fucking religion. It's still religion. And you can sell to a people a lot of suffering when you promise them something good at the other end. You know, in our society, in our way of life, at least religiously, in a Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic, we're taught that after we die, it's going to be all fucking great. And here it all blows. But, you know, when you croak, man, you'll go to heaven, you'll be with God. Well, in Korea, you're taught that it sucks for you, but think of how great it's going to be for your grandchildren and your children. Think of how great the state will be. Look at this great country you're building. Look, that will be your legacy. You will be forever held high in the minds of all Koreans because of the efforts you make today. So it's immortality is what it's, in our society, and there's not promising anything different. We're promising immortality. What do we promise in the Christian faith? Lasting life, you know, forever. We live forever. If you just accept your sufferings here, and you accept your sufferings here, and you put up with the shit, you'll live forever. It's no different over there. You will live forever. Your legacy will be the state and the workers' paradise that we're creating. It will be you that created this, and as such, you will live through it. And don't that sound good? All right, we have gone way too long in our pre-show. It's time now for our show today. It's going to be Bobby Dooley, as I told you. Really, really sort of looking forward to this, too. I really am. I really, really am. Got to get my glasses, too. So, everybody, Listen and love. Listen and love. Where are we here, man? Okay. As Bobby Dooley and the gang talk today about the Sony hacking. And here we go.